Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
You guys think it was because of the goofy conversation yesterday? I didn't think it would have that kind of consequences. Like, I'm sitting there thinking, is Goofy a dog? Is he a cow? How have we not considered this before this very moment? And I didn't think it would have, you know, ruffled that many feathers.
It felt dangerous while we were doing it. We had someone tell us, you know, Goofy's a goofy. And in a sort of tone that made me feel like whatever it was that we were discussing, it had consequences.
But which part of it do you like? Which part would have been problematic? Is it that we thought he's a cow? Because I still don't know that he's not a cow. I don't know how a dog has a pet that's also a dog. That's confusing. I didn't know about the whole history of Geef, of Mrs. Geef.
Did we say anything bad about Mrs. Geef?
Well, I mean, we just highlighted the fact that she passed away tragically, and that's not really what you want to think about when you enter the most magical place on Earth.
So you think that it might be because we pointed out that Goofy is a widower and then went down the path of introducing people to what was a failed character, Mrs. Geef. I think it's a failed character. There's legitimately in the Disney Kingdom, there's a mystery around a character's death, like an unsolved mystery around. I don't mean to keep bringing up this subject. Lord knows there have been enough consequences already.
I erred in bringing up what a bad driver Goofy is in the cartoons. I mean, the guy's constantly falling over cliffs, and he's always doing that yo-ho-ho-ho-y thing. And you know, something's about to go wrong. And yeah, I immediately heard back, and it certainly had some consequences, Dan.
Guys, how did you feel when we were in it? When we were doing, and I just can't believe it's become this.
I was confused. I mean, you operate your entire life under the assumption that Goofy's a dog, and then someone tells you he's a cow, and then he has a wife, and then the wife is dead, and then I was confused. I'm still reeling, to be honest.
It was so stunning in so many different ways from so many different angles that I wasn't sure, and I don't want to bring yet more consequences about this. That Goofy wasn't maybe a murderer, given that you have a mystery involving a death. He's a widower. That's the way I would frame it.
You have to be very careful with the accusation.
I didn't make the accusation. I'm just saying that I was made so crazed by one of the beloved icons having a past that I didn't know about.
Well, vehicular dog slaughter is nothing to joke about.
I didn't feel like we were joking about it yesterday. I feel like the place that we lost everybody is that we pointed out that he's a widower, and all of a sudden around the happiness, around the Goofy, you found death, which is not one of the Disney characters.
I got to tell you, where my heart immediately went after learning this news was for Max Goof.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, because I had no idea he had that tragic past.
I don't know where we went wrong here. Billy, do you have any theories on where the whole thing went sideways on us?
I'm trying to figure out why it is that a duck, a mouse, a dog, possibly cow, and another dog are all the same size.
Billy, you need to be careful. Have you not learned anything? I mean, you would think
tread lightly, my friend.
I mean, you would
scale.
Think, like, what are you questioning here? Explain. I understand scale, proportion, but like, that's not criticism.
Because a mouse, Dan, is smaller than a dog and a horse and a duck.
We know that. Be careful.
Oh. Whoa!
Just imagine your surprise if you open up a patio door and you see a mouse the size of what we're led to believe Mickey Mouse's size is.
Well, hold on a second. Are the horses the size of Mickey Mouse, or is Mickey Mouse the size of the horses?
They're all the same size.
I'm not comfortable with this conversation. I got to be honest with you. I don't know where the lines are anymore.
I think Mickey Mouse just happens to be a giant mouse that's bigger than a domesticated dog, but shorter than an anthropomorphic dog, which is Goofy, or possibly cow.
All right, let me figure out how to do this here. Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Is Mickey the size of a mouse?
No. Do not put that on the poll.
Yeah, that lives forever, man.
No, man.
I'll get us in
all right,
trouble.
Delete it quickly, and nobody
block,
will notice.
Yeah, the block is hot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, though, do you think the audience believes, if you start from the premise, because I hadn't considered what Billy said until he said it, if you start with the premise that all of these characters are the same size, then does that make Mickey the size of a horse or a cow, or does that make Goofy the size of Mickey and a mouse? I think it's a good question.
Ooh.
Which way are you guys guessing on that?
I've researched it, and the internet tells me that Mickey Mouse is somewhere between 2 and 3 feet.
Hmm.
Have
they ever interacted with humans?
That's a good question.
I think they have.
From the parks.
Yeah, they have interacted.
But when I go to the park, Mickey's taller than 2 to 3 feet.
Well, Mickey's taller than me when I go to the park.
Yeah. So Mickey scares children, right? Aren't the characters at Disney? Well, wait a minute. I got to be really careful with all of this. And I'm always, this is the problem with me and us and the penalties we suffer around here. I can't help myself, Stugatz. I just venture into these forbidden conversational lands, whether it's as a grief eater or a controversy seeker. Like, I can't stay away from them no matter how dire the consequence.
Where were you headed, the characters at Disney? Because my kids... Now, listen, I am treading lightly here. If I shouldn't say this, just tell me and we will...
Well,
all
you,
back.
You have to say it, though, in order
my
for
my kids
to
were mortified.
You. Okay, wait. No, you shouldn't say that.
Oh.
No, okay. You should not say that.
I'm telling you, the first time you take your kids to Disney...
No, please stop telling me that. Just back off for a
that,
second,
Anthony.
Please.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We can
bleep it.
We can scrub. This is tape,
sorry.
Tony.
Sorry.
I didn't want to be that guy, okay? And I'm going to say it very gently.
Shh.
When I was a kid, okay, and we were talking about early 90s, my parents took me to the character breakfast at Disney. I've never been so scared in my entire life.
I know.
You're amongst friends.
I think that's a thing that happens. I appreciate you sharing in this.
They were 7 feet tall.
I don't think this is something you should say out loud.
Tony sounds like the movie phone voice or perhaps a guy who does movie previews.
Honestly, he just whispered.
That's all he did.
I
did not hear, welcome to movie phone.
Tony was 23 years old.
Damn, I wanted to make that joke. I got a whole setup about the first character that made me cry. It was Gideon from Pinocchio.
Roy, please help me.
I was 27 years old.
So obscure.
Roy, help me here. You believe that Mickey Mouse is the size of a mouse, or he's the size of Goofy and therefore the size of either a cow or a dog?
I believe he's in between. I believe he's bigger than a mouse. Smaller than Goofy, for Minnie as well.
Well, he's very clearly smaller than Goofy. We've seen them stand next to each other. Goofy is about 6 feet tall.
Yes, he's 6'2".
Well, but
maybe 6'3".
No, but didn't Billy, are all these characters indeed the same size? Like, or did you just start from a premise that confused and muddled the whole situation? Why do you think are they not the same size? Is it possible?
They're roughly the same size. I mean, look at them in all the things together, cartoons, movies, etc. It's not like one of them's looking down at the other one because one's, 6 inches tall and the other one's the size of a dog.
Goofy has a size 18 and a half shoe. I mean, you know what that
hey,
means.
Jeez. God.
What is going on? Your mic was always so great, Roy, but you've pushed your windsock so close to the microphone in an effort to be discreet that you're peeking.
Roy, how can it be that you speak less than anyone on the show? You have the greatest equipment of anyone on the show, and then the few times you do speak, something like that happens.
You have a windshield. All I hear is wind. I mean,
I think it's going bad, actually.
I'm gonna broke it. Roy, I'm gonna say something that's going to rock your world right now. Probably the most shocking thing we've heard all week. Moana is 7'6".
Wow.
What?
What?
She is 7'6".
Wow.
I Googled tallest Disney character, Moana, at 7'6".
A new bowl size.
I mean, jeez. It is from the proportions you guys gave me, the size, clearly, of Goofy's...
B-
one is shorter than the guy the Rock is. I mean, I've never seen
That's
Moana,
what I'm
but
saying.
This guy
this
that the
sense.
Rock is a yeah, lot taller than Moana.
I was thinking
he must
Mike
be like 10'7" or something.
I was thinking Mike maybe meant Maui and said Moana because
no,
Maui's the Rock character.
But if you Google
the theme
it,
park Goofy is 6
no,
feet
you're
tall,
right.
by the way.
I verified this.
Look,
7'6".
I'm very confused because when I Google tallest Disney character, it says Moana, and then the second image on Google Images is Moana standing next to someone that is taller than Moana. Was this? I have a question because Christians believe that humans were once giants, that we were like 8 to 9 feet tall because the oxygen was different back then. Is Moana prehistoric?
I'm not sure of the time period of it. I'm seeing here Sully, the big monster from Monsters Inc., is also 7'6". Gaston is only 6 feet tall. I mean, now I'm all thrown off here.
What else do we have here on this front? That was a good contribution from Stu Gotts there, so I guess I'll take the baton from here.
I didn't know what was going on.
Right, well,
I got to be
you
honest,
were typing.
I wasn't listening.
What were you typing? Yeah. What were you typing?
I was getting a bet in for this weekend.
Hey, you made a noise, Stu Gotts. That's better than anybody else. You made a noise.
Thank you.
Listen,
I've mastered making noises. I mean,
it's
I'm great
just,
at it.
He just lobbed a lazy in there.
And I was debating
it
this
wasn't,
game.
It wasn't a syllable. It wasn't a thought.
I'm trying to figure out. The Vikings are minus 10. It feels like too many points, but the Vikings are getting hot at the right time. And so I'm figuring out how much money I should bet on Minnesota.
Not at the right time. They just lost to Dallas at home and won by a kick against Carolina.
That's getting hot at the right time. That win against Carolina was big. They're 5-6. Everyone's in the mix right now. There's an extra wild card team. I feel like Minnesota minus 10 is a pretty good play this week, and so I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm sorry. I was distracted.
How the hell is Tigger less than 2 feet tall?
Well, he's a stuffed animal.
I mean, but he thought he was a tiger.
No, he's a soft animal that resides in the imagination of one Christopher Robin.
Oh.
So if Goofy has shoes that are 18 and a half, and he's roughly the same size as Mickey Mouse has to be the size of a cow or dog.
No, Dan. We Googled this.
Yes.
I mean, Mickey Mouse is half the size of Goofy. Mm-hmm. He's between 2 and 3 feet, and Goofy stands at a tall 6 foot tall.
You Googled it, but what did Billy say about the characters being roughly the same size? Because he's watching and he sees that nobody's looking down at anybody 6 inches in the cartoons.
Well, they don't look down on you at Disney World. That's rule number one.
They never look down on you.
Yeah, you always have to have your chin up.
Okay, so anyways, I'm sorry in general that me and our show made such a mess of this to blaspheme against Goofy yesterday, wondering whether he's a dog or a cow. And I don't really feel like it was worth it because I don't feel like we have an answer yet to whether he's a dog or a cow. Like, I feel like we argued about it a lot yesterday, but do you feel any? I feel more confused than I feel definitive about, like, well, I thought he was a dog and now I have more conviction that he's a dog. I thought he was a dog, and now I have less conviction that he's a dog.
I've lived my entire life thinking that Goofy was a dog, and I'll continue to live the remainder of my life thinking Goofy is a dog.
Okay? More way to do it.
I have to remind you, Goofy's a Goofy.
Not a geef, but what was the...
Well, potentially a geef. At one time, a geef.
Is he a murderer?
It seems as though with a bunch of different aliases, one could draw that conclusion if they were a cynic. I'm not.
That he's a murderer?
I'm not calling
it. It might have been like accidental, right? Like he's a bad driver. He's got big feet. The big feet get in the way of the brakes.
You know what? He's so right about this.
Accidental.
This song, yes. I think Stu Gotts, yes. Sherlock Holmes over here.
I mean, imagine having size 18 and a half feet trying to transition from the brake to the gas to the brake.
Put it
on
the pole. Yep. Are you doomed to a tragic car accident if you have size 18 and a half feet?
Such a good point.
Thank you.
I always almost hit the gas when I mean to hit the brakes.
All the time. Yeah. Right.
He is often dressed like he's wanting to be in disguise. The Hawaiian shirt and the camera around his neck.
Like he's a fugitive?
It's just an attempt at a disguise.
Doesn't he realize that he looks very unique? Yeah, it's like, really not a very smart move.
So unique that you can't tell whether he's a cow or a dog.
You have him as Dr. Richard Kimball? I mean,
I do. I have him as a fugitive.
It's a lot better than I had him as Dexter. I've got him.
I've got him. Well, you didn't actually say that. You edited yourself in a way that was really good. Nobody knows what you meant by that. You just got scared and ran away. But I now have him. You realize I now have Goofy in a situation where, because of the mysterious circumstances involving how he became a widower and because of the mysterious death of Mrs. Geef, I've got him in the Keys wearing a Hawaiian shirt trying to blend in with the other tourists because he's trying to be incognito. And so far it's working because we don't know if he's a cow or a dog. Like, how would he be tried? Would he be tried as a cow or a dog?
That's a great question. Can you be incognito when you have size 18 and a half feet?
It's hard.
What do you do?
And when you're a cow dog with size 18 and a half feet, walking around on two legs while, you know, having a giant dong.
Now I understand why he has so much trouble dating.
What, because he's a murderer?
No.
The dong.
Well, I was going to say it's hard being a single dad.
A single dad to whom?
Max Goof, man. Keep up.
I'm sorry. It's moving very fast.
You never watched Goof Troop?
I did not. I'm not familiar at all with Goof Troop. You guys were making Goof Troop jokes there that I did not recognize.
Goof Troop.
I got Sugats in college watching Goof Troop.
100%.
I'm not totally sure if he on purpose or accidentally just slurred Geef Troop as a joke or on purpose. I'm not clear on that.
I didn't say Geef Troop. I said Goof Troop. But Mike has me watching it in college, and he's right.
I got you eating it out of like cereal out of a pasta strainer.
Yeah. Yeah, what else you have me doing, Mike? Go ahead, just finish it off, huh?
This all feels so dangerous.
I mean, what can anyone do to us now? Hasn't it already been done? Aren't we ostensibly free to speak freely to, some might say, be goofy? Isn't that allowed now? When I say be goofy, I don't mean a murderous, dog cow with a giant dong. I mean just light.
I don't know if it's now or January 5th.
Okay. We got to figure that out. I've got to read some contract language here over the next couple of weeks because it was a little disorienting yesterday talking about disparagement clauses. So we might want to be a little more careful than we have been in these two segments talking about the Disney character Goofy, a blessed icon that all of us around here feel very highly about and would never say anything to disparage.
Just know, guys, that no matter what happens, we'll always stick together. Best friends forever. Side by side, wherever we go, we're always ready to roll. Because we're a Goof Troop.
Mm-hmm.
And we always stick together.
Yep.
We are a Goof Troop. And what I wanted to ask you guys is if this Goof Troop, because in all seriousness, as we speak directly to the audience, and the audience needs to know that we are happy and going to be happier, and we're going to be someone who is in your life because you have really moved us, like really moved us in terms of how it is that you have rallied around, sort of what happened to Chris Cody and just rally around us in general. And so just know that we have seen that support. We value that support. We've been busting our ass for months now because we value that support and want to give you the same stuff you're used to getting. And we're going to keep doing that, and you're going to keep getting it the way you're accustomed to getting it, and it's going to get bigger and stronger. And I'm actually very grateful, and we're very grateful to ESPN for turning us into this this thing that is a spaceship that commands the loyalty of an army, of the Stugatz army, that really does make us feel good in what can feel like unstable times. And so I think that we are very close to changing the name of this show and giving Stugatz what it is that he's wanted for years, which is to get rid of that with in the Dan Le Batard show with Stugatz. I believe that after a difficult couple of days, it is time to promote Stugatz with freedom to a different word other than the Dan Le Batard show with Stugatz. I don't know your level of happy on this, Stugatz. I think
this is massive news.
I feel, wow. I feel
Stugatz are getting your and.
I am.
Well, no, wait. I didn't say that. I said we were. No. I said we had to change the name, the width. Oh. I didn't say he was getting the and. I said just changing the width. I was thinking maybe despite. I was thinking the Dan Le Batard show despite Stugatz.
I was actually thinking the Dan Le Batard show and Stugatz.
Okay, I mean, listen, pay me every 7 days. Call it whatever the hell you want.
Stugatz is a free agent, baby. How about that?
Here's the problem, okay? The Vikings are playing good football. Mike Glennon is starting for the Jaguars, and Glennon is trying to get a job in the NFL. He's actively trying to win football games, and I don't know if laying 10 points is really the way to go here. Dalvin Cook is great. Jefferson might be the best young wide receiver in football, and Thielen is a great compliment to Jefferson. So I'm really torn only because of Glennon and him trying to impress all the other GMs, showing that he can still do it.
Well,
Dalvin
Cook is healthy, Glennon, right? And Thielen is off the COVID list, I believe. So you're getting they're packing their best punch.
It's 10 points, though. I mean,
Stugatz, are you just trying to get good tape out there? Like, what's going on right here?
How is that show? How is that gambling show that you're doing or we're doing, I guess I should say now? How was that going? I should say. I'm checking in with it. There's not much.
Daily Wager?
Yes.
I'm supposed to be on it today. We'll see. I mean,
but how's it going?
It's going well. I mean, I'm 3-3 on the show. Stu Props is 3-3. Kazarian's 3-3. The bet is I'm supposed to host the show if I beat Kazarian over the course of a football season. So my feeling is this is probably all for naught.
Oh, it's gonna be inconclusive at the end. You think it's gonna be incomplete?
Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps it might be incomplete. But there's also good news, because if Kazarian beat me, then he was going to be co-hosting this show with you. So I didn't tell you that. I mean,
well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen since you were doing game predictions on game day? Are they going to still put your name on that big board on Saturday?
It's going to be redacted 11-7.
I'm in the lead still, aren't I?
No, you weren't. You lost the lead.
You were like two games over 500.
Two weeks after you gave your picks, you were out of the lead.
If you'd done well, you would have given us the glorious exit around here of having your name, like, banned, all of us banned from the network, but your name at the top of every Saturday at College Game Day. But, of course, because you stunk at it, we fail again. And now he's a free agent, baby, available to all. You too can have this gambling advice, this unshaven maw, the lies.
Come get some of this.
The immorality. All of it can be yours, America. Free agent, Stugatz.
Seriously, please. I have three mortgages.
Fly on the wall conversation, Stugatz and his agent the last couple days.
Okay, well,
oh, really, to be a fly on the wall.
Wait a minute.
Things really took a turn after that segment for everybody.
Hold on a second. I think I want to have this conversation. I just don't know if we can have this conversation. Mike, I'm not kidding. I've actually had conversations about this the last couple of days. I like the idea because I've been talking, and this is exactly why I got into journalism, to so many bleeping lawyers. Because I'm talking about, like, things that I don't want to care about. I was wondering how it is that we handled going forward some of the issues that happen when, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you know how much I specifically, you know, playing the Son of Cuban Exiles card, love and need and negotiate freedom. It's something that I want. But there is language in this contract that is pretty standard and is something that corporations do. But I really don't know where the lines are on NDAs. And I'd like to sort of just start calling my attorney on air and asking him if I can say something. Like, what are the consequences of saying X, Y, and Z? I'd like to call him last segment. What are the consequences saying that Goofy is a murderous cow dog that might have a giant dong?
I don't really feel comfortable giving you advice in this situation, Dan.
Yeah, okay.
I think you saved it with giant dong.
You think
it's a compliment?
I mean, it is.
It is. I mean,
is it not?
I mean, I don't think anyone wants to be thinking about that.
Why not? I mean, they don't want to be thinking about murderous Goofy, but that's how we found ourselves in the position we are in right now.
No, you just want to think about how yuck and go on your way.
Okay, so we'll figure that out on air with you. We will figure that out over time as we go on as the pirate ship that is sailing into uncharted waters. But I really do want to talk about the last couple of days and the specifics of what Chris is asking about. Oh, to be a fly on the wall for Stu Gatz's agent conversations. But have you even seen the disparagement language yet in our contracts? Like,
no one's informed me of anything. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'll be showing up to this seat every day, roughly between 8 and 10 a.m. every single morning and every 7 days. Here's what I'm telling you, collecting every penny. I mean, that's it. I haven't signed anything, agreed to anything. I'll be here for 2 more years in this seat. Now, whether someone throws it to me from Bristol or not, that's up to them. But I'll be right here, okay?
I'm just hearing from somebody right now that you can refer to yourself as a pirate, but you only have access to 6 of the 7 seas.
Okay.
Not really sure what that means.
Okay, I'm going to have a lot of reading to do, all right? I'm going to have to do a lot of reading to figure out what can be talked about here. But I can tell you, this part I can tell you, Chris, okay, on what was a remarkably emotional day for me, okay? And this has happened almost every time me and Stu Gatz end up in any kind of negotiation. We were snorting laughing about some of the stupid things that were happening in the middle of all of that. Now, this is coming seconds after I'm crying about something else. But just like the stupidity of some of the things that were happening and how uproariously funny and terrible they are, because Stu Gatz trusts me implicitly, and I feel like I have earned that trust, and I don't trust Stu Gatz at all, and I feel like he has earned that, but I love him, yeah. and in these circumstances, and he this part he knows, and I don't think I'm speaking for him when I say he knows that I value him, period, that I know how much he means to this show, I know how much he does. I know how important his character is. I know how much he knows about radio and how good he is, if you're looking behind the scenes on what we do, of being a producer inside of what we're doing, because he came up through radio as a producer. But to be a fly on the wall on some of the stuff that happened yesterday, like, I don't even know. Like, we will tell the stories at some point. We will tell these stories, just because when we're more comfortable and I've read all the disparagement language, we will tell the stories of just the funny stuff that'll make you amused. Because understand, in all the framing of what it is that we're talking to you about right now, we really are, as a group, grateful, really super grateful to this company that we've been able to, like, do all of this absurd thing that we do. Like, I still can't believe it, having done it, Stu Gatz. I can't believe that we're in a position where they allowed us to play with the Disney money, with the Disney brand. Like,
I was on College Game Day. I mean,
I mean, think of the things. If we're going to get nostalgic about
this. I really
thought
that was a turn for us.
So did I.
Well, hold on. See, this is the thing. This is what I was thinking about this yesterday, and it's sort of one of the things that Stu Gatz and I were laughing about. This has been such a marvelous and funny thing. If you've been with it since the beginning, and we know how you guys listen, it's an unusual way of listening when people at the trough now, there's so many damn people and options that you guys listen to this show super weird and like unlike anything else, really, in sports radio, where you listen for hours at a time and you get addicted and you don't want to miss what the inside jokes are. And it's just unbelievable the way that you guys see what it is that's happening around here. Like, if you've been following this, it's not hard to see everything that happened. And you have seen Stu Gatz climb to a place where he's feuding with Mike Wilbon on air and people are siding with Stu Gatz, where Stu Gatz can taunt Greenberg. And by the way, I think that we're all better, all of us, everyone listening to me and in this room, better, because now, instead of us, the ESPN radio lineup has a lot of guys who come from the Jets and believe in the Jets, and I believe that is big for everyone, and we all understand. Like, of course we're going to get kicked out of the way when you can have Greenberg, Keyshawn, and Bart Scott talking about the Jets. Like, how can we not get kicked out of the way for what is that, 8 hours, 10 hours of Jets stuff a day?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, of course. That's
10 hours.
That's the way that you need to do that. So... to arrive in a point where Stugatz, I really thought on College Game Day, like we kept climbing. The whole point, if you've been watching this through the since the beginning, the whole idea of it, and I've said this before to some, is, okay, let me climb to the top of the ESPN mountain as the straight man gas bag who has some self-awareness. And then at the very end, Stugatz, like a monkey, just climbs up on my shoulder, plants a flag in my head that doesn't have a flag, is just the stick, because that's how he leads his army, and kills me and is at the top of ESPN. And the S in ESPN stands for Stugatz.
And just so I'm clear, if Greeny wants to talk Jets with me, I'll be sitting in this seat every day for the next 2 years.
Well, you
collecting every penny.
So you are going to get here and just sit there and just assume it's going to be on ESPN Plus. Yeah. You sitting there.
Yeah. Why not? It worked for Rick Riley. I
mean, it really did.
Is there a joke anywhere for me to just not have any idea what happened yesterday? I kind of ruined it with the fly on the wall stuff.
I think maybe the joke is like you not feeling bad for anybody at all.
Right.
Like, oh, is you sad? Yeah, it must be tough, huh? Uncertain
today future. Yesterday was a breeze.
Having awkward talks with your family.
Little walk in the park, Steve.
Wondering what's next.
Ooh. All right, so I'm assuming we were taping on all that, and if you're just joining this part of the conversation and wondering what we were talking about, Chris was saying that he skated yesterday. Like, it was a source of a lot of stress for everybody around here in a way that was, you know, unpleasant and also emotional and and so Chris, the idea that Chris was like, "Hey, I did all this, you know, I did this a couple of weeks ago, guys. I'm a savvy veteran when it comes to this whole
Welcome
thing
to the
about,
party, pal.
Of being let go. Like, what happened yesterday? That's Chris. That is what you should have been doing all show. Like, what are you guys talking about? What did I miss yesterday when I was out getting Dan donuts?
I was like, why is it so? Like, I feel like the news was it was a bigger news story a couple weeks ago. I wonder what the difference is."
I have been asked by Greg Cody to join his podcast.
Well, what about this? Because
oh, Jesus,
I was getting so many calls from reporters yesterday, and I didn't know. Like, Cody got scooped on this. You know, that one killed him. But again, like, we couldn't talk about any of this to anybody. And so Cody got scooped on that. And now what am I supposed to do with Cody? Because it's not like I want to be doing interviews or anything. Like, I feel like the only place that we're going to be talking about any of this stuff is here.
I'd like to bring him on today, final segment, one of the 2 hours, hard network at him, and talk about how upset he was that he didn't get the scoop. I would like to do that. I think that'd be funny if we could do that and pull that off.
I mean, I honestly don't trust his voice around us right now.
Neither do I. We didn't trust him.
Look, guys, I'm usually good for a good old-fashioned HNO, but maybe not today.
How about this, Mike? I mean, he was hurt. He was legitimately hurt, Chris. I don't know if he told anything to you about this, but with me, he told me because the other day I wanted to tell the group something that was sensitive, and I just said out loud, well, let me wait till Greg gets out of here. And he was hurt by that. And I don't understand how or why he would be hurt by that.
Like, don't understand why or how he doesn't know that we want him out of that Zoom with reason. There's a history.
Did he say anything to you, Chris, about being hurt or angry that that we don't feel like we could speak freely around him anymore?
I mean, it's just his lack of self-awareness. It goes back to the argument from a couple weeks ago. He just doesn't see himself the way he really is, the way we all see him.
As a traitorous,
just as like he doesn't like he puts clicks as it might not be his biggest priority, but clicks is a big priority for him, and we all see that, and he kind of sits back like what Chris, the Herald wants me to do this. It's like, okay,
we're about to learn what a big priority the clicks are. That's not something we had to do very much before. We just sort of shrugged our shoulders and like, yeah, so many clicks in this wonderful. And we're about to learn as a group those clicks, what they mean.
I think we have 10 million clicks. I mean,
I have to correct you. It's closer to 12.
Oh, wow.
That's not counting laugh.
Licking it.
Is that a month?
Yeah. Neither here nor there. Just putting it out there.
Well, it's why it is actually not here and there. Yeah. That is, it is not here and there.
I'll be right here, though.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know what to do with. Like, Stugatz is still waiting for the contract language, still waiting for, like, I didn't sign anything. I've still got the leverage.
Wait, I'm here, but is the money going to be there? Because if the money's there, I'll go there. But if it's staying here, every penny. I mean, you know, tell me where it is. I mean, I'll be here and there if you want me to.
I'll be here and there waiting for the money so I can figure out whether to bet it on Mike Glennon and the Jags.
Oh, this is a tough one. 10 points. I mean, the Vikings should be favored by 10 over anyone.
I would not bet that game simply so that I don't have to watch it. Is that something that you guys do with your gambling at all? Like where you're like, I don't want to care. I found that the other day with that Cleveland game, Mike, that was in 50-mile-an-hour winds and was 10-7. Like, I'm not, I don't want to watch this.
I didn't have a choice. I couldn't watch it. No team ever got in the red zone. There were six drives for the Browns. That Raiders game, I saw maybe 17 seconds of.
I don't have to watch a game that I bet. I'm betting on so many things. You can't watch it all at once. You just and plus, I'm very superstitious. I don't – if I have a lot of money on a game – I struggle to watch that game.
Oh, wait a minute. So the way that you do this is you just check in on the game after it's already been played to see whether you won or lost so you're not suffering it?
It depends. Sometimes I'll wait a quarter. Sometimes I'll wait till halftime. Sometimes I'll just, you know, check in here and there.
That's an interesting way to watch games.
Well, I mean, Dan, I have, you know, 5-team parlays, 8-team teasers, everybody have fumble. I mean, everything's going
on. I guess
on.
I should have said that's an interesting way to not watch game.
Yeah, during the start of sports, like I was betting a ton of Bundesliga soccer because it was the first thing to market, and I was just having action to have action. I wasn't really watching the games. I realized, no, the fun part about having action is being able to actually watch your
to
action.
Care about the game, to care about it. Like that, I'm surprised by what Stugatz is saying there. Billy, if you were a gambler, if you were somebody who enjoyed gambling and you were putting money on games that mattered to you. What are you laughing about?
I mean,
Billy is a gambler. Doesn't
Billy is a gambler?
He's just not a gambler.
Betting
in general.
Large sums of money
is
not generally risk averse.
He's scared of this conversation. So, like,
trying to figure out how I can not use sick days at the end of this.
How does this work with gambling and whether or not you would want? If you've got, let's say, you've got $200 on a game, something that, you know, it'll hurt you.
That's a good amount of money, yes.
Will you watch it and live and die with every bounce, or would you prefer to just check in on it afterward? Just, did I win or did I lose?
I mean, it depends. Sometimes you get a hot tip, but the only way to watch it is by some pirated feed.
I'm like the opposite of Stugatz. I kind of only will bet it. Like, if I'm sitting down in a sporting game, a game's about to start, hey, let me make this more interesting. I'll bet on it because I'm going to watch it. Like, I go the opposite.
But, Billy, if you bet, I know you would never do this, but if you bet $200 on a game, that would be an impossible afternoon for you, would it not?
Nah, I never bet $200 on a game. Life. $200. So, I didn't get a buyout. My pennies.
That's one day at a Disney theme park.
Be careful, please. Christ almighty. What is the matter? Oh, he's got no consequences. What does he care? He's just a personal assistant.
Right, he's on your payroll.
Just saying, that's where Billy's mind goes. Billy wants to go to Disney.
Oh, man, I got to print out all of my passes.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
Don't even get me started on that.
You guys, hold on a second. You guys got to get into the system here. Wait a minute. We have till January 4th to print out all like the free parks and stuff that we can't go to for a while?
I'm going
to
scalp mine. I mean,
there's language that says you can't, but.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I got to read that contract.
Then I won't do that.
Oh, okay. Dan, let me get yours. I know you
Is Chris working things. 4 days longer than the rest of us?
When is your severance, Chris? How does it, when? I think
January 8th.
Oh, he got 4 more days of severance than you guys.
I won't be so lonely down here. All right.
How did Chris get more severance? What happened there?
If you're not first, you're last.
You think Greeny's going to be confused when you send him an interview research packet?
Back and better than ever.
Hashtag Greeny.
Bart Scott, Keyshawn Johnson, and Mike Greenberg. There is going to be so much.
The funny
much
part is they had
Jets
to move
experience.
Out. The funny part is that they had to bump out a Jets fan to make room for an actual Jet.
That's true. If we were still in the lineup, it would be even more Jet stuff. That's crazy.
I hadn't realized that.
They're winless.
That's crazy. No, but it's crazy. Keyshawn Johnson, Mike Greenberg, obsessed with the Jets.
Bart Scott played for the Jets.
Bart Scott, yes. Also, Keyshawn Johnson played for the Jets.
Yeah.
So you've got...
Is Kellerman a Jet fan? Or
probably.
No, I think he's a Giants
fan. Giant
fan. And so what else do we have? We've got Spain and Fitz.
Yep.
Raiders and Bears there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. Who's a Raiders fan?
We are inundating the national audience because... This is not what it wants. It wants more sports with Jets coverage. That is exciting. Billy, are you okay? I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you.
I think Billy's.
It's been an unstable time. But I will say this again to the audience. Please be happy for us. Please do not be someone who is tuning in to hear me say any negative things about ESPN, because you're not going to get those. Like we are, I'm still stunned, Stugatz. How the bleep are we allowed to do any of this?
I don't know. Like, listen, for me, I set out to do a radio show, a local radio show, and getting to spend any amount of time at ESPN has been a blessing for me. It really has been. I've been able to do things I never, ever imagined I'd be able to do, like being on the set of College Game Day or doing the Masvidal stuff for with Mike for UFC for that fight. So there's been some amazing experiences, and I'm truly grateful for them. I never imagined I'd arrive at ESPN. I arrived here because of you. I'm well aware of that, and your relationships and your talent, your personality. But I enjoyed it. I really did. It was never something I thought I'd do, and I'm lucky I have two more years left. I mean, this is fantastic. I'm really going to miss you, Dan.
I mean, I got to tour the ESPN Bristol Calf. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the pinnacle. I mean, it was never going to get better after that.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yesterday was a lot. I received a lot of phone calls I didn't know were coming, and there's a lot of confusing thing. But I did see, like, one tweet from Diana Russini, and you mentioned the ESPN Calf, and it really made me happy about what we accomplished here at ESPN. She says that the line to get coffee at the ESPN Calf is always super long. But what they have on the TV, or had on the TV when we were on ESPN News, I guess, was our show. And she said everyone had the exact same smile on their face while they waited in line. And that, to me, to be embraced by people there, for people to know that they could have that kind of fun over there, really, like, touched my heart. And now I'm getting sad.
Yeah, we saw it when we went up there, when Dan took some time off and we went up there, and I think we felt the love and saw it just walking around talking to people who worked up in Bristol. I felt loved yesterday. I did. I felt a lot of love yesterday from a lot of people. So thank you to everyone.
Yes, it was moving.
But I'll be here two more years. I mean, it felt like a goodbye, and I'll be sitting in this seat every day at least for two more years. We'll see. There might be an option for a third. I'm not sure. I'll check it out. #Greeny.
There were a couple of things that I wanted to get to, because Stugatz and I were also laughing when he talks about the gratitude of having arrived where he was. I believe he had a chance, correct me if I'm wrong, Stugatz, I don't want to speak out of school here, but that there was a decent chance that you could have ended up doing a show with Bart Scott in New York, and it was something because of where you had arrived, where you were like, no, that's not what I want from my life anymore. When once upon a time, when I got into the business, I would have killed for that job. That's the, if you told me back then, that's the job I would get to, I would say, sign me up right now.
10 years ago, I would have given body parts for that job at WFAN. It was presented to my agent, and it was like a quick no from him, because, you know, we were off and running, and I was working here at ESPN. So, and I don't know if it was like, hey, slam dunk, we want it. It was just one of the options.
But I'm saying it wasn't that interesting to you just because you were arrived and you had arrived in a point. What happened there, Mike?
Quick no.
No, it was. I'm telling you. Mike.
No, quick no. But for how much? What's the offer?
Well, that's why it was a quick no. Nothing to do with Bart.
So let me explain to you, though. I will say that because it was a weird day.
They were a dollar away. I mean,
because it was a weird day for the show yesterday and weirdly emotional and fun and sadness and all that stuff, I would say to you that one of the great delights of my day yesterday, and it really was delightful, and I asked you guys to see if you can find some of these for me today and put them in front of me. I just want to read the people who were so happy about what could have been construed as a really dark day for our show. And so they were taking a victory lap over the, you know, over the idea of go woke, go broke. And so there was a lot of that yesterday. And I just had this giant smile on my face just reading not the outpouring of the Diana Russinis, which was really nice, but the other end of it, where the people were gleeful because they think some harm has what are you laughing about, Mike? Some harm has happened to the show, and they want to dance merrily over the show when I am of the belief that go woke, go broke just got rich. Like, I don't think that that's how that ended up going.
Money here, money there, money everywhere.
Money. That's why he's leaving us, and we'll sit in this seat for 2 years long after we're gone. But why are you laughing, Mike?
Well, it's just, I mean, I'm not going to go there. Okay, I'll go there. Just like, look at the rankings. Look at the rankings.
So let me read some of this, though, from people who don't believe in those rankings and don't believe that we're popular.
At some point, could we talk about you FaceTiming me shirtless? I believe you were naked.
He did that to you, too?
Yeah, yeah.
The only reason, I thought he might have been naked, but then a palm tree moved in the background. So I'm like, if he's naked, he's walking down the beach.
I've been peppering him all night. I'm still convinced he was naked. He said he wasn't. It was shirtless. I still have a problem with that, but I believe that he was naked.
First, I'm seeing in the Zoom, though, before we do that, it looks like Billy just burned himself. Billy, are you okay? Like, what's going on with you?
I burned my hand with a lighter, lighting a stress candle. I didn't know the end of the lighter got hot. I know there's the fire and that was there, but like it's one of those barbecue lighters and it gets really hot and I touched it by accident. Now I'm
stress candle.
So you cause yourself more stress lighting a stress candle.
Well, now I need to go get this checked out.
Imagine him with Jesus a $200 Christ. Straight up light a Sunday afternoon.
I would use up those doctor's visits.
So let me read some.
I got a couple questions about that. Who can I talk to?
Thank God I got that surgery when I did, didn't I?
I've got some questions about that too. We're a little bit up in the air on that front. So let me just read some of these to you to see how you guys feel about this. Was anyone able to assemble for me some of the funny ones? Because I was just looking at some of them that I found. Chris, did you find anything?
I see one here. It says at Lebatard Show. Goodbye, you fat woke.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that was a little less funny and a little angrier than I would have liked. But thank you for starting the bidding there. How about Dan Lebatard leaving ESPN? I think they were sick and tired of him thinking he can say anything and everything over the air. It was just a matter of time. Another one. Dan Lebatard. This is Stallion. Dan Lebatard going the way of Jamel Hill. Jamel Hill, good riddance to that woke idiot. He'll be relegated to the ash heap and never heard from again.
What a sad day. He'll never be heard from again.
It's really funny that that person thinks that what happened to Jamel was a bad thing for Jamel.
Or a bad thing for us.
I think Jamel just got an HBO show.
She did? Give her a call after the show.
So this is from hashtag LeBron forever, hashtag famous Jameis, hashtag Anakin, hashtag Jesse Pinkman. Am I like one of the only people that didn't care for Dan Lebatard? He was I guess, just never really enjoyed his takes or the show.
I mean, I appreciate the honesty. Maybe I'll give that person a gift. I wonder what I could possibly get that person.
Another person writes in, I always found it distasteful how Lebatard pimps his father for some Ricky Ricardo laughs.
That one kind of feels icky.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, that one's also true.
Yeah.
So this from Mike McCarthy, Michael McCarthy, Dan Lebatard.
What?
Yeah.
He's got bigger things to focus on.
No? Michael McCarthy has gotten involved here, and he writes, Dan Le'Batard enters free agency January 4th in the midst of a COVID-19-driven sports media recession. That sounds like Michael McCarthy doubting us.
It does. Who is Mike McCarthy?
I'd be careful with that, Michael McCarthy. This is another one here from the Chris Phoenix. Was never a Dan Le'Batard fan. Thought he was one of the dudes that was talking out of where the sun don't shine more often than not. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does Dan talk out of where the sun don't shine more often than not?
I want to change my last name to Phoenix.
It's a great last name.
It is a great last name.
I'm thinking about that a lot.
Johnny Phoenix.
Jack Phoenix. Burton, he's Pork Chop Express. He writes in, sorry, but that sounds great, by the way.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that in a list of potential names.
I'm going to open a restaurant.
I'm thinking a restaurant chain.
Oh, really?
I thought
just possibly if we get to keep our name, that's up in the air, right? And maybe Pork Chop Express is a good name for what we do.
It's a Pork Chop Express. I imagine it like Panda Express. I do. It's got, I mean,
Pork Chop. Instead of pandas.
New York to California. Dan, I think we're on to something. 50-50?
Well, here you get involved in this tweet. Sorry, but Dan Le'Batard, his poppy, and John Wiener, a.k.a. Stugatz, are garbage in my book.
All right.
Garbage. This guy writes in, never liked Dan Le'Batard personally. That's it. And I don't know whether
I appreciate him wanting to put that out there.
That's very nice. Seriously, when you consider everything else that's coming our way, that's nice.
Also,
I just don't like you.
Is the previous one an author? Does he actually have a book?
Who keeps garbage in a book?
Never liked Dan Le'Batard personally. I don't know whether that person is saying personally in their opinion, or they know me and personally they've gotten to know that they don't like me. I don't know,
I think it's more of a general statement.
It's a doorman at your condo.
Dan Le'Batard's name sounds like something you would nickname a Dan you're picking on. I've been getting that, some form of that, since I was a child. It's why I'm fat. Like, stop doing that to me.
My last name's Wiener.
Dan Le'Batard leaving ESPN, meh, wasn't a fan of his show. The meh is oddly hurtful and dismissive.
It really is.
Like, I want you to care more than that. You hit me with a meh, I'm like, it's okay to hate me, but meh, you don't even care enough to hate me.
You know what it feels like? Like, someone, the meh feels like someone is slapping me in the face with a glove.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does a meh feel like someone is slapping you on the face with a fish? Someone else writes in here, and Stugatz, here you are again. Whatever Dan Le'Batard does next, you can bet your ass Stugatz will be riding his coattails like his life depends on it.
Yeah, after I'm done sitting here for 2 years, you bet your ass I am. Every penny.
So Dan Le'Batard is leaving ESPN. Fitting, I guess, since he's more suited to the stupidity that is Barstool Sports or something similar. Maybe they can put a show on that's actually good in that time slot. Now, they are. Your Jets are going to get covered. You are getting more Mike Greenberg. The answer, as we all know, to all problems in life, if you want fixing, more Mike Greenberg. I feel like we can all agree on that.
That's a nice little 4-hour block there. Little get up 8 to 10, and then our show 10 to 12.
you and Greeny.
4 straight hours of me and Greeny.
Well, you realize that you just upgraded on co-hosts. Like you have upgraded. You're going to come in here every day and wait for Greeny to call on you because now you're in the same time slot with him.
Yeah.
I was just Googling when Joe Rogan signed his deal.
I quit listening to ESPN Radio about 5 years ago because I could not stand the commercials or the Dan Le'Batard show. They made me irrationally angry. I'll be honest, Dan Le'Batard, and thank you for your honesty, Daniel All Canes. I'll be honest, Dan Le'Batard show hasn't been relevant for about a year and a half, if you ask me. I feel like it's a year. I don't feel like it's a year and a half. I feel like what we did 18 months ago was okay. But it's a year we haven't
been. No one asked them.
I mean, there was that pandemic thing.
Maybe 14 months. We used to be relevant, but 14 months ago we stopped. There is absolutely no way. This is from Home with the Reply Guy. There is absolutely no way Dan Le'Batard is worth whatever they're paying him. TV, radio, no different than everything else, is getting moneyballed. he will land on his feet after making seven figures for a decade? Question mark. What do you think? Am I going to land on my feet? Are we going to land on our feet?
I always bet against you when it comes to agility.
I won't miss Dan Levitard.
Seven figures for a decade.
I won't miss Dan Levitard at all. I liked him until he brought politics to the network. I can find that other places on the radio. Sorry, Dan Levitard. Poppy was the star of the show. That's true. I can't dispute that. No one's disputing that, right?
How many figures in a million? Aqua?
I think Candle Day is coming up soon, guys. December 5th is the rumored date. It's always a surprise.
Candle.
Bath and Body Works.
Ooh, Billy, I was able to get $10 off 3-wick candles last weekend.
I didn't because I was reading the Candle Day was coming. So I just bought the body wash because I saw what was happening. They're telling you, Cyber Monday deals are coming. Everything's 40% off. And it's like, well, the body wash is $5.95 right now, and it's normally $13. So seems like that's a better deal. Let me lock this in right now before we get to the 40% off.
But the 3-wick candles being $10 off is better on Candle Day?
I think so. I didn't take advantage of Candle Day last year. I think they get to like $9 or $8.
What?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Candle Day. And here's the thing. The suckers go and they wait in line for hours outside of the store for Candle Day. You can buy them online so you don't have to wait.
No, they don't. There's no line for
There's
Candle
There's no line.
Day. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. There's a big line for Candle Day.
Tell them to get a life.
Look it up.
Are you going holiday scent? Or are you going original scents?
No, all stress relief, aromatherapy, different versions, sleep ones, all kinds of things.
Mike, why were you shaking your head sadly? Is it because Stugatz felt the need to turn candles into John Candelaria, the Candyman, a Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher from the 70s?
Yeah.
Athletes and entertainers who can own candles. I mean, John Wick. How about that?
That's how he could relate to what was going on. He just mutters John Candelaria. That's
what Candlestick Park.
Do you guys want to do athletes who connote candles? Or
because, the catch.
I feel like we have arrived in a place where John Wick was a little easy. You've done John Candelaria. Now where are we on candles? Do we have athletes who connote candles? Should we start the national show with athletes who connote candles just with do we have a wax? Do we have something wax specific? Like, how many things do you have to choose from? Flame specific? I don't know where it is that I would end up with some of this stuff if I'm just filibustering as I am.
I think wax, drip, lighter.
Sparky Anderson.
There you go.
Oh, that's a good one. See, excellent. Sparky Anderson is an excellent one.
Yep.
Wax Kellerman.
Okay, see, this is where this game always ends up. It always happens. No, see, I don't blame him for this. This happens all the time. If we open up the phones, we will absolutely get more puns, and it'll have more space because you saw all we got was John Wick and Sparky Anderson with all of us thinking at the same time. If we make it puns, you will have 1,000 of them. And
there's not a ton of words that go with candles. Like, a lot of times we play this like food, and there's so there's so many words you can do with food, but candles, there's like 6 words.
Al Leiter.
Wow, that's
good. A good one. See, that is a good one. That is excellent work.
A tennis match.
Yes, this is the game we need to be playing.
There seem to be only 3 parts to a candle, Dan.
Well, this is why I was going to go with Dodgers second baseman Steve Wax, but I don't want to play. I don't want to play the pun game. But I do want to play the pun game. The pun game will broaden this a little bit, but I also suspect that many of these will end up being being bad, because then you'd get into wick Swisher, like these things. Wick Van Exel.
Ric Flair.
Wax Bredos.
Oof. My thing doesn't work still.
Go ahead, do it.
Your
again.
Thing doesn't work?
No, just unplug it and blow in the cartridge.
My thing
seems to be a problem, man.
Yeah.
Big problem.
There we go.
Wax Bredos. After Wax Kellerman had already been taken.
That's a good point. Fair.
Do we have anything else on the candle front? Guys, I feel like that time I was in the Bahamas and the tourist before me started parasailing and the parachute ended up in the water and he was skimming pink and bloated across the water. I'm trying to keep this parachute out of the water and it is collecting water right now. I don't know how to keep this afloat because I feel like the whole candle thing is dying. We're trying to do improv and we're falling apart because it's an emotional day and Billy is lighting stress candles.
Peter Burns.
I appreciate the help. I appreciate the effort as I drown, as I slowly descend into this candle wax muck in a way that is drowning me. Tony, can you rescue us? Can someone rescue us? Can you help me, please, Mike Ryan? Do you have the time, because this is how I'm feeling right now, that somebody saved the Family Feud, that a caller saved the Family Feud, where I was so frustrated with something like this, where we were descending into the muck in front of people. It was vulnerable. It was not funny. And I just I demanded that someone call in on Family Feud and this game, and that caller would determine forever in our Family Feud game whether we would keep the feud. And it was scary because we were playing Family Feud stuff for a long time. And then a caller called in, and I don't remember the specifics of this story, but Mike will find the sound, and we're very happy to report this library comes with us. The library of stuff in our past is stuff we're going to get to keep around here, so the show's not going to change too much.
Scott Van Melt.
That's pretty good right there. I like that.
Boom!
Candelab Plinka.
Melty Cabrera.
Melty Cabrera. So, yes, Chris.
Jake Taper. A taper is a slender wax candle. A taper is a type of candle.
When you have to explain it to everyone, dude. I mean, really.
I've Googled candle words. I just typed in candle words.
Bad week, man. They should have fired you again.
What about frozen urine? What about frozen urine? What?
I thought maybe that was it, too.
So, Mike, how deep in our library do you have to go to find the Family Feud game? Because this library...
I mean, it's not so much how deep in the library I have to go as the fact that I have, like, one working computer now, and I've got questions about what we do about that going forward, but I do have sound of Kurt saving the feud. Just don't try to talk to anybody else because it's on the same pot because nothing's working.
Okay, so it's Kurt saving the feud. Do we have or need any context to this beyond because so many of the things that we've been playing from 10 and 15 years ago are new to the new listeners, and we're going to do more and more of that going forward because there's some funny stuff in our past. And also, I don't know what holds up and what doesn't. There might be stuff like Robot Baseball doesn't hold up anymore.
So no. That's
one of the original things that we did around here. You listen to it and we enjoyed it and it was great at the time, but it does not hold up. Does this hold up, Mike? Do you feel comfortable about what we're playing right now? Does it hold up? Let's see.
This is it. One call for the life of the feud. We're really? Playing bleeping Russian roulette. One call for the life of the feud. If this call stinks, the feud is dead. It will never be played on this show again. Kurt, you are on 790 The Ticket. Save the mother bleeping feud, Kurt.
Warren Moon.
Is it up there? Show me Moon. Yes. God bless you, Kurt. Show me your moon. Yes.
I think so.
No doubt.
I must admit, I really like Melty Cabrera.
Scott Van Melt?
No, Melty Cabrera.
Melty Cabrera is a good one.
It's the best one. The thing about candles is there's three parts.
I know you mentioned that. It was very limited, so we had to go with the pun.
I was on Rob Palinka, the candelabra for like 15 minutes.
You guys were reaching on that. You tried to deliver it as if you were walking around landmines.
Then you're like, is there a call that we can go to? And I'm like, does Dan know that we're being taped right now and not live? Oh, wow. There was just a bunch.
I got a good one. Glimmer for debt.
I'm laughing at everyone else's reaction. I'm laughing at how happy Chris is. His cherubic red face just giggling in the screen and everyone.
Because glimmer is a faint light or a dim glow.
Everyone's head just dropped. He was totally confident with, I got this, I got this.
I got a good one. I got a good one. I got a good one.
You saw it too? And as soon as he did it, we all just stared at him. And I actually don't think it was bad, but I think it was rescued from just the sheer disappointment in the faces of all the colleagues who love you. Like, really? You've had time to think about it. We just need you to get in here real quick, in and out of a window as the seventh voice. Give us something.
He gave us Glimmer.
He gave us Glimmer for debt, which is okay, but didn't deserve the confidence with which you delivered it. And Billy, this is the thing about Billy. Billy only shoots when he knows that shot's going in. Like Billy's windows, Billy's never thrown out a Glimmer for debt because he's measured and he's cautious and he's lighting his stress candle and he's going into the fray. And this is one of the differences between you and Chris, although I don't know if it's why Chris was fired. You pick your spots, Billy, really judiciously. You get in only with jokes that are going to work. You thought what when Glimmer for Debt was launched out there to rescue us? Chris is just pantomiming Papa Shot. Just keep shooting, keep shooting, keep trying to help. Attaboy. Doesn't matter where the balls end up. Yep. Billy, your reaction in real time to Glimmer for Debt.
This is the guy we all went to bat for.